Wow. Look at this, I got goosebumps. Hayden Thorpe war das gerade mit Love Crimes von seiner aktuellen Platte Diviner, die so aktuell ist, dass sie noch gar nicht erschienen ist. Erst am kommenden Freitag wird das Album hier in Deutschland erscheinen. Schon heute ist Hayden Thorpe in Berlin, um ein Konzert zu spielen im Roten Salon. Ein Piano-Room-Konzert, ganz intim, ganz klein, nur er und das Piano werden auf der Bühne existieren. Hayden Thorpe, wer den Namen kennt und sich fragt, woher denn nochmal? Ja, das ist der Mann, der einst bei den Wild Beasts sang. Mit Diviner hat er nun sein erstes Solowerk nach der Auflösung der Band aus Kendo abgeliefert. Und jetzt ist er bei mir im Studio. Hello and welcome to Flux FM, Hayden Thorpe.
Guten Tag, good to see you again.
Yeah, same here. How are you doing today?
Really well, thank you. It's nice and warm in Berlin. It's beautiful out.
Yeah, it's the time of the year where all that crazy stuff happens, like the weather is changing. People are friendly all of a sudden, you know, Berlin people are friendly to
that
each other.
That crazy thing called friendliness.
Yeah, it's the same in London though. It's a schizophrenic phenomenon that means that during the winter time nobody knows each other, but as soon as the temperatures rise a little bit, you'll be like, oh, it's so good to see you again, to the same person that you've just passed like for months on the street without saying anything.
True, you know, and I did try to avoid winter for a while. I tried to avoid decay, and I started to go crazy, and I started to learn that actually the winter and feeling the closed doors and the hostility it's important.
Yeah, I think so too.
And then when the summer comes, we're happy and we feel the life cycle of that.
So you've tried Los Angeles for a while, I guess,
tried,
right?
Los Angeles and the blue skies and the lack of decay. Nothing rots.
Yeah.
No leaves fall.
Yeah.
And I guess time stands still there. And that's the beauty of that place.
I love
that's what you need.
Yeah, I love the fact that Europeans do love to be reminded of their own mortality, kind of some kind, you know?
I do think our memory works in conjunction with the seasons.
Yeah.
So you say last summer, you say last winter.
True.
Three summers ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's our visual memory and the way our brain absorbs memory needs the seasons.
Sure. And I mean, I wouldn't be as happy if there hasn't been any winter time in between those summers, you know. Now this temperature is rising and I'm like the happiest man, and I wouldn't be if I was a Los Angeles type of guy, because nothing would have changed.
Well, I guess if we're going to get heavy, it's the theme of our civilization is to somehow reverse the effects of nature, so artificial light, so we don't have night.
Yeah.
And to try and protect ourselves somehow from the brutality of nature, but you know, it's okay to let some of that harshness in.
Yeah, totally. It's not essentially harshness that you try to let into your music, but it's a form of spirituality, maybe, that you think is important in times of science and facts. It's like a Gospel for the Godless album, maybe.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, I guess it's a record that is mystical in some senses, but also I do think we are in an era where mysticism and science and high technology are all functioning in quite similar ways. You know, we even the use of our phones and how we reach to the sky looking for signal as if we're looking for some kind of divine intervention to tell us where we are on the map, what's next.
Yeah.
And you know, even to send a text message is to send the contents of your heart up into space, onto a satellite, and back down. And that we just take as normal.
Yeah. But that's an interesting take, because you take something that is basically a scientific action, but you look at it from a different perspective and you see something mystic in it. Because I've never looked at a person holding up their phone into the sky trying to get a signal as something, because when you tell it to me like that, I see a statue made out of marble, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly like that, because it actually is a sign for something that tries to connect with the skies.
It does. An invisible force that we assume is there. We assume is our reality.
Yeah. So it was important for you to incorporate those ideas of mysticism and spiritualism onto the album, or into the album, because you feel that there's a lack of it in times like these?
I think at times like these, we are all open to our own bespoke belief system. So we can take what we need from where we need it in order to believe what we need to believe to be. So I, for instance, think it's cool to do yoga and take certain drugs, but not believe in God, but believe in certain aspects of connectedness and oneness.
Mm.
So that is my own version of spirituality. And I now think we're all, as individuals, can be our own belief system. But crucially, belief is the story. And we all need stories to tell of ourselves, the stories we tell of the world about ourselves. And the record's called Diviner because it's my divination, my way of telling myself into the future.
Yeah. And I think a common story does help, especially in times like these where turbo capitalism eats up its youth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It might be a way out, or it might be a way to connect people again, to find that form of common spiritualism or common sense in spiritualism, because that's kind of like, because what you are talking about right now is a highly individualized form of belief. And sometimes, because I don't believe in God, I'm not a part of the Catholic Church or something, but sometimes I feel it might be cool if we could find like a little common ground on the spiritual side as well, because maybe it would be a basis where that works for conversation about certain things.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah.
But maybe the common ground is the Diviner LP by Hayden Thorpe.
Maybe everyone needs to listen to this LP.
Yeah, that's it.
I've got the answer, everyone. It's Diviner by Hayden Thorpe, out this Friday.
It used to be 42, you know?
It used to be Jesus, now it's Hayden Thorpe.
Yeah, that was 42 because of the traveling through the galaxy, kind of, you know, the answer to everything was 42 for a while. But now it's Hayden Thorpe's album, Diviner.
Well, next year will be 2020, which, you know, could be a huge year in the history of man. I'm also 33. Jesus Christ was 33.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we're going down a very narcissist, very, very current narcissistic route.
What is wrong with those guys? Now, before we talk a bit too much, let's listen to another song. Let's listen to the title track of the album, which was the first track to be written for that record. Hayden Thorpe meets Diviner of Flux FM. Oh, Hayden, I love those new songs. They're kind of like reduced to the max. That's how I would say. Like Pepsi Zero or something way back in the 90s. Reduced to the max. Zero calories.
But I like that.
A lot of taste.
Zero calorie songs.
Not really, but what I like is that the songs are small and big at the same time.
I like something that. I'll take that forward.
Yeah,
that's max minimalism.
Yeah. That's what I hear when I listen to those songs.
Because
the melodies are huge and the topics are huge, but the songs sound small, but there's this little noise in the back and makes them bigger again.
Mm.
It's great.
Thank you.
So this was the first song that you've written for the album. It must have been a great moment to realize that there's some melody still waiting for you to be sung by you.
Absolutely. That was a relief. That was a relief. I mean, I made the whole record on the piano because this time of change in my life, a piano is a totem in a house. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, in many ways, a piano is an emotional kidney.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It kind of, you know, gets the spooks out of a house.
Yeah.
You always know a home is lived in if there's a piano.
True.
So, and the piano is also a very mysterious instrument because it's very orderly, this sequence of ancient notes.
Yeah.
Yet the infinite number of songs and melodies available within it.
Yeah.
And I found myself just kind of intuitively being drawn to the piano. And I guess I'm a bit superstitious about songs because songs are intangible. They're in the ether.
Yeah, I think so too.
They're not a kind of solid product. It's not gold. You can't certify the carat of the thing.
Yeah.
And also a song is a construction of the mind. You develop a song in your own head according to your own memory and emotion and understanding.
Yeah.
So, as you can tell, I kind of got really re-enchanted with the idea of how powerful a song is. Because a song is just a story.
Yeah, true. But what I love about... We've talked about the effort that you've put into those recordings when the song was on.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is how fast has Diviner arrived in your head? Because sometimes people tell me that their favorite songs... They really were floating around in the air, and that they have been written pretty quickly because they were just there. Was Diviner one of those songs, or
I guess it was. I mean, this record was all written with a lot of intuition because I do think doublethink and hesitation is both the curse for any creative, but also slightly the curse of our times.
Yeah,
and intuition is a wisdom built upon experience, but then just gut instinct.
Yeah.
It's instinct. And when you rely on instinct, you don't double think and you don't question.
Yeah.
There's some kind of inner truth that you can kind of rely upon.
Yeah. It seems as if intuition was something like an inner form of spirituality then, because it's not scientific. It's like, are you trying to leave away the scientific thing that your head wants to put into the art, you know? You're just, no, I don't want to overthink it. It's a brilliant way, I think, to achieve stuff.
Well, it's belief, isn't it? I mean, belief,
yeah.
Science in itself is a belief system.
Yeah.
And I guess I believe in songs because I've changed my life around songs. And because certain songs have made me coordinate my emotions in such a way to take the action needed.
Yeah.
So I guess I was just self-medicating, creating the songs that made me to take the action I needed.
Yeah, cool. You had lost your voice as well before you started writing those songs, or in the middle of the process?
In the middle of the process, when most of the songs were written, I had this strange curse of a throat that came about usually in pre-antibiotic era.
Uh-huh.
It's basically not to get too gross, it's a pus-filled abscess in the throat. So mm-hmm. your throat kind of collapses in by the weight of the pus.
Mm, yummy.
that's so gross.
No, but it's interesting because I believe in psychosomatic things that are happening,
totally.
You know?
I mean, I had a pus-filled abscess in my psyche.
Yeah.
It was not in the throat. It
was
in the mind.
Yeah,
and it developed. And at that moment, I think I probably needed silencing. And when my voice returned, my voice was the same, but my psyche was changed.
Yeah.
The gratitude and the understanding of what a gift it is to be able to sing, and what a kind of strange existence it is, that one that relies on the sinews of this very fragile bit of connective tissue in the throat.
Yeah. But that's the other thing that is so fascinating about listening to a singer or listening to horn players or something, because all those instruments that work with air, they have this certain feel to it, that they have a certain soul to it, and it's because it's fragile, that's why it gets you so much as a listener, you know. But
totally.
even Aretha Franklin or the big voices, there's fragility in them, and that's what's interesting. And their work with with the air coming out of the lungs, it's like it's a proof of living. Singing
it
is
really,
like you're alive when you're singing.
Well, singing is a very life-giving force. I mean, for some reason in our society, we have distinguished the musician from the regular person. But we're all musical. Everyone can sing.
Yes.
And singing, stimulates your vagus nerve.
Yeah.
It stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, regulates your heartbeat, helps digestion, helps with endorphins.
Yeah.
It's an essential thing. You know, and also musicians apparently have better developed left and right brain.
Yes.
You know, that's the coordination, the logical brain and the emotional brain.
Yeah.
So everyone should blow a trumpet.
Yeah, sure.
Or sing a song.
Yeah. Or join a choir. I mean, that's the thing, that's the lower hurdle, the low hanging fruit kind of. And so many people that I know that who were like, no, I'm not a singer. Oh, no, I'm not really musically talented and stuff. They join a choir and they're like, rah, in the front row, you know?
Totally. I mean, music is language.
Yeah.
And we all have language innately.
Yeah.
And we all, you never see a child who doesn't understand rhythm.
Yeah, they're totally, yeah.
That's inherent in the makeup of our brain.
Yeah. So people, maybe people should listen to music more or work more with music, because that's another form of, as we've established, another form of spirituality, kind of, because it's coming from somewhere no one can really explain. There's maths in there and science in music, right?
Yes, but I mean, Darwin suggested that the only evolutionary purpose of music would be to enable societal togetherness and enhance sexual reproduction, which is why singers like myself are so sexy.
Mm. You are. Looking at you right now, I have to realize you are.
you know, I throw myself off course.
No, but the Darwin theory that you've just mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Darwin didn't listen to music. He was typically amusical because he couldn't find a rationale for it. Similarly, Freud, psychotherapist, huge influence on our society, amusical, made him irrational. he couldn't find a placement for it, which I find so interesting.
Yeah.
Because it does make you irrational, because you are literally taking the template of someone else's mind into your
yes,
own.
Yes, that's true.
You are transplanting the thought process and the emotions of another into yourself.
Yeah.
You are becoming another.
Yeah.
And that's part of the transcendence of it, which is where the spirituality comes in.
Yeah.
Where you become more than yourself. When you're within a choir, you are receiving the organs and the hearts of all the other people within the choir.
Yeah.
You are more than yourself.
Yeah. But that's really interesting, the thing that you've just explained, that you get caught into the emotions of a song that has been written by completely different person in another land, somewhere far, far away from your own fate, but there's connectivity, and you realize, oh, we do have the same problems. Or sometimes you feel super sad for someone who has a different problem that you've never experienced, but you're like, that is sad. That's just sad.
That's why it's so essential to our being.
Yeah.
Because songs also don't work by clock time.
Yeah.
Ancient songs don't erode. They don't decay. The forces of time don't make them disappear.
Yeah.
They're still there, and they still speak of the humanity, which we can't escape. God knows how we try.
Yeah. The beauty of music, basically.
The wonder of music.
Yeah, the wonder, yeah. That's more like it. The wonder of music. It's still happening. And that's another thing that I find fascinating. We live in a world of science, and everything is kind of like explainable somehow, but no one can tell us why the major chord sounds funnier than the minor chord, you know? It's like, why? True. Nobody knows.
So true. No. I mean, it's interesting that in my time as a musician, the understanding of what music is has changed entirely again.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my first record contract before Spotify.
Yeah.
Before iTunes.
Yeah.
So my understanding of the ownership of music and the value of it has had to change entirely.
Yeah, sure.
In many ways, maybe the playing field has been leveled again, where music is assumed to be a right for everyone, which it is.
Mm.
We now have at our disposal the whole arsenal, the whole canon of human recorded music within seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe musicians could get paid a little more for that.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, if it was for the greater good, if like the world would become a better place because music is available for everyone all the time, and the musician gets a little more for it, then we're fine.
Well, I'm never going to be out of work.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that in terms of there is never going to be a time when people say, I don't need songs anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need music.
We have enough music now.
We have enough. We have saturated ourselves with music. You know, there is never enough music.
Yeah, that's true. So you're going to write more stuff after this leg of the tour? Are you currently already writing on new stuff for the Hayden Thorpe solo thing? Or are you touring this one and then you're going to start thinking about new stuff?
New stuff's happening.
Cool.
New stuff's happening. I think I do feel like there is an exciting new realm of possibility with music and the technology.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of things I'm thinking about are these ancient practices, but with the high definition beauty of that we have now, I would like to kind of make within this meta scenario that we have now.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to more stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Bei Hayden Thorpe, der heute Abend im Roten Salon spielen wird, ein Piano Room Konzert. It's just going to be you and the piano tonight, right?
Just me and the piano.
Yeah, right. It's a little intimate show that's going to happen at Roter Salon. Und wer da hingehen möchte, wir haben die letzten Tickets, die ich verlosen darf, unter der 030-2000-9000. Berlin 2000-9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Ruft mich jetzt an für Tickets für Hayden Thorpe heute Abend im Roten Salon. Hayden, it was a great pleasure to be talking to you.
Oh,
I could go on forever.
Yes, we should.
We should.
We should have our own show. I should have a show.
Sorry, people. This was the last episode of the morning show in the afternoon. It's going to be called the Hayden and Winston Show from now on. And it's going to be deeply philosophical. You won't be able to follow us, but we're going to have some fun, Hayden and I.
Maybe we should have the bedtime slot to put people to sleep.
Good idea as well. Thank you for visiting. Have great fun at tonight's show. And as soon as you've developed more stuff, you come and visit us again.
Thank you.
Hayden Thorpe bei Flux FM. Hier zum Abschluss nochmal sein Stückchen. Earthly Needs 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück Berlin 2000-9000. Thank you, Hayden. Bye.
Thank you.